This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7.07 a.m. on Wednesday, the 5th of October. Good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. But as always, we're kickstarting the morning with a recap of how global markets closed overnight.
I can barely keep up, really, because one day it's red and then another day it's all green. Because in the US, the Dow was up 2.8%, S&P 500 up 3.1%, and Nasdaq up 3.3%. Meanwhile, in Asia, Nikkei was up 2.5%, Singapore Straits Times was up 1%, and our very own FBMKLCI was up 0.8%. However, Hang Seng and Shanghai Composite were closed yesterday for a holiday.
So something is obviously cheering up the markets. And on the line with us to help us understand what that is, we have Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Kingsley, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Let's start with the U.S., where we see markets rallied for a second day in more than 2 years on the back of slowing job openings. Now, is this a case of bad news is good news? Are markets really optimistic that the Fed will slow the pace and quantum of hikes?
Yeah, look, I think that's what's going on. Certainly, the market has feared this ongoing, unrelenting sequence of Federal Reserve rate rises and the effect that it has on valuations. And now that we're seeing some evidence that the economy is slowing, of course, somewhat perversely, the market is rallying. I think there's a happy medium somewhere between these two extremes, because obviously if we see job openings, slowing and signs that manufacturing PMIs are weakening in places like the US, then clearly the economy is slowing down. So we probably will, as a result, see some earnings downgrades in the coming reporting season that just reflect that reality. And so therefore, we think that the market is taking an opportunity now to rally, possibly ahead of the reality of those lower earnings. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we have to figure out what the right level for this market is. I think probably we're at fair value now, but we have to see what sort of damage results from the coming reporting season as to whether this current rally is maintained.
Okay, Kingsley, I'm going to take you down the historical path and remind you about the great financial crisis of 2008, because I'm going to be asking about Credit Suisse. Do you think that we have reasons to be concerned and this might start another contagion meltdown of financial institutions?
Certainly, I think we should be concerned about what's going on with Credit Suisse specifically, because as you pointed out, this is very reminiscent of the GFC in terms of how the so-called credit default swaps are trading. Now, those are a particular form of financial instrument that is traded where it pays out if you actually have a default event. So when you see the price of those rise as a form of insurance, what it's saying is that there's a higher risk that Credit Suisse might default in the eyes of the market. And we're now seeing Credit Suisse default swaps trade above the highs that they had in the 2008 financial crisis. So clearly that's bad for Credit Suisse. We don't yet see a general broadening of that phenomenon across the whole European banking sector. So I think a systemic crisis is not really on the cards yet, at least not in terms of the market point of view. But what I would mention is that European banks are trading, a large number of them, at less than half times tangible book value. That's pretty cheap. And the fact that the market's not buying them says the market still is pretty concerned about conditions for European banking.
Yeah. So what are those conditions, Kingsley, that markets are really concerned about? I mean, this discount to, let's say, the American banks has been going on for quite some time already. Are these systemic structural issues that European banks face? Is it the nature of their earnings?
Yeah, pretty much it is. And it's largely a result of, it's a combination of things, but one big factor is the European Central Bank policy. As you'll recall, they really drove interest rates deeply negative across Europe, and they're also forcing banks, pay away on that negative interest so that they were not earning income from their portfolio of fixed income. So obviously that's really bad for profits within banking. And it causes banks to, shall we say, reach for ever more extreme ideas of how they might get out of their predicament of not being able to make money. And I think that's what's been happening with Credit Suisse, but it's not limited only to Credit Suisse. You know, Deutsche Bank seems to be, you know, having a bit of a checkered history here also. So the bottom line is, I think that what we're seeing now in Europe is the consequence of 10 years or more of very low to negative interest rates, and that was ECB policy. And so the big question, I think, for the future of the European financial market is, when do we get out of this situation, and how is the ECB going to normalize, given that we now see, for example, US markets perhaps believe from this rally that it should soon be over there. Perhaps it's not over soon in Europe.
If we take a look at this part of the world, Kingsley, do you see similar concerns with Asian financial institutions? Are there any regional banks with the same balance sheet concerns?
We don't have those concerns, but I will say that we have been very active in the Asian financial sector, or indeed financials all around the world. The one exception to that is Australian financials, where we do have a lot of positions, and we also own DBS up in Singapore. So, you know, obviously, if we own them, about those banks, we don't have particular concerns. The issue in the background, though, of course, is the Chinese banks and what's going on with, you know, the real estate crisis in China. If you went back 1 year in time, then obviously there was a big fear that we're going to see real estate collapse in China. That doesn't seem to have happened thus far, but it's certainly a slow burn issue. So I think if we did see some form of systemic crisis in Europe related possibly to Credit Suisse, then, you know, eyes would turn fairly quickly to the Chinese banks to see if they had any issues. We don't think so, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Okay, let's talk about the commodity space, because gold has gone back above 1700. Is this a temporary blip, or is this real demand for the metal coming back?
I think that what's been happening with gold, just for context, there tend to be different attitudes over time as to why you would buy gold, obviously. You know, in the past, whenever you saw an inflationary uptick, many investors would have bought gold. In recent years, gold has been trading as a proxy for real yields on bonds. So, you know, the bond yield less the inflation rate. And the belief was that as long as real yields were negative, you would buy gold. And so that if you thought that they were getting less negative, you know, you would sell it. And we've seen a lot of that in the last 2 years or so, where gold effectively traded with high correlation to bonds. All that meant was that when bonds were going down in value, gold was going down in value also. What's happening now, and I think a reason why we need to be a bit cautious on the US market rally right now, is that whilst, you know, stocks are going up, bonds are going up as well in terms of prices as yields fall, and so too is gold. So we may be seeing a situation where, in fact, gold renews its safe haven asset if the S&P 500 were to start falling again. It's too early to tell about that, but I think people should keep an eye on gold for those reasons. Will it start behaving more like gold in a bear market, which it hasn't been so far?
Let's end on this question then, Kingsley, with regard to the RBA. They surprised the market by raising rates by 25 instead of 50 basis points yesterday. Do you think the RBA calibrated this hike correctly ahead of Q3 CPI numbers due out later this month?
Well, that's a very good question, because we, like many in the market, were expecting a 50 basis point rise rather than 25. And the reason for that, I think it's fair to say, is that most market commentators expect the inflation print to be poor, that is to say, not improving. And they're also conscious that this is a very strong US dollar environment where the Australian dollar is at risk of falling out of bed and weakening further. If that happens, then, of course, the risk for the RBA is we see more imported inflation, and then you can get a bit of a negative spiral develop where, you know, the inflation print for CPI is bad, but then the dollar falls and then imports rise in price as Australians buy them, and that keeps more fuel on the fire for inflation. So I think that's why most of the market expected a 50 and they've gone 25. So the question is why. Frankly, I think they've been a little bit opportunistic on this one. They were very dovish going into this rate rise period and were widely criticised for it. They're conscious that housing prices are falling in Australia, and therefore I think they want to do the least harm they can. And this is an experiment to see whether they can go easy on this one rate rise ahead of the next US rate rise and just see what happens. I think that's what's going on, but we'll have to wait and see. And of course, the next round of meetings in the US will largely determine what happens there.
Kingsley, thanks as always for the chat. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead. Ending the conversation there with a look at the RBA and really just showing how central banks are trying to navigate what they do depending on how the Fed reacts, right? So the RBA taking this experimental approach of maybe raising rates slightly slower than what everyone is expecting. But will that backfire? Will that pay off? We really don't know at this point.
We don't know. I don't envy any of them. I don't want to be a governor of a central bank at this current juncture, partially because there is no historical precedent to help them make these decisions. We live in rather peculiar economic times.
7:17 in the morning. We are heading into some messages. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.